Hey, friend, I'm so glad that you're here, and welcome to the What's the Truth podcast with me, your host, Jessica Hoddle. Today is line number 12. No equals rejection equals giving up. You're listening to the What's the Truth podcast with me, Jessica Hoddle. I'm a number one bestselling author, wife, and coach. I refuse to let you keep believing the lies that are coming at you from every direction. Every week, I'll speak truth, bring encouragement, and inspire you as I uncover the lies you may believe to be true about your life. Each episode is meant to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. In this own season of my life, I have begun to discover the importance of when Scripture says, wait on the Lord, have patience, stay persistent, be obedient. And those words are, you know, buzzwords in the Christian world, and surrendering and obedience and discipline. But when you begin to walk those out in your own life, you begin to spiritually mature because you're not depending on your works, you're not depending on yourself, and you are doing the things that you know you're supposed to be doing, that you know that you're called to do. And you begin to develop this stronger relationship with the Lord and understanding that it's not about the results that you create. You know, we read in Scripture that it's not about what you sow and what you plant and who's, you know, doing what. It's about you showing up, doing your part, and then you get to watch God do the increase. And so I recently shared on Instagram and Instagram stories and on social media. You can follow me at Jessica Hoddle, talking about this journey that I've been on in the midst of waiting well, hearing a ton of no's, hearing objections, hearing silence, which silence isn't always fun either, right? You're putting all this work out there and you hear nothing. You don't know if it's good. Is anybody reading this? Are they getting the emails? Then I had submitted a couple of projects for writing and I didn't hear anything back with them. I had wrote my fourth book most recently in 2019. And so I decided to take the route of looking for a literary agent. And I spent the most of the fourth quarter in 2019 writing the proposal, getting things edited. And that alone is its own project. And then you begin to put yourself out there the best that you can with the knowledge that you have regarding that. Spent hours of research and just deciding that I wasn't going to make the excuse that this was going to be too hard for me. Because when I wrote my first book, Know Your Worth, back in 2014, was I didn't want to do the hard thing. I wanted to run away. It was too hard. I didn't feel qualified enough. I didn't feel like I had the knowledge. And so this time around, I was like, you know what? I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to do hard things. I know that I'm made for hard things and I'm just going to show up. And then we hear, you know, Christian buzzwords that are surrender and obedience and patience, which let's be honest, not a lot of us like that word. And, you know, just discipline of the showing up regardless of the results that you see with your physical eyes. And so in the midst of sharing the story of waiting well and not letting my heart get tossed to and fro, meaning if somebody said no, I wasn't going to let that be the determining factor of my worth. I wasn't going to let it determine the quality of my work, because I know that all of us, we're always growing in our gifts and in our calling. And so, you know, every day we get to fine tune them and to grow in them. And so I decided that I wasn't going to let no's and silence be the determining factor of whether I was going to give up or throw in the towel or label my writing as not good. Now, I'm sure it needs improvement and things need to be reworded and all of those things, right? But I will not let the enemy come in and convince me, stop writing, stop doing these things. You're crazy. What were you thinking? You don't have any right to be, you know, a book in a bookshelf inside of a bookstore. And as I began to share that, more and more people privately messaged me, well, how do you know when to give up? Because I said, I refuse to give up. I refuse to stop at the nose. This was going to be a year for me where I stood on truth and I kept showing up regardless of the results that I was getting or seeing or experiencing or not hearing. And when I got these questions, it was the questions about, well, how do I know when to give up? How do I know when it's the enemy just, you know, coming at me against my business? And I think these questions are extremely valid questions because if you're an entrepreneur and a business owner or, you know, you're a speaker, author, whatever it is, we should always be asking ourselves questions, you know, is this the right expense right now? Am I doing the right thing in this season? And we should be asking ourselves those questions. Those are valid questions. But in the midst of it all, I think it's important that we understand it's not about being successful. It's about being faithful with what you have and where you are. Another thing, I don't believe we are ever called to give up. So what I like to say is that we just pivot. You pivot, you change directions, you know, maybe knock something off your to-do list or you take something away for a season. But just because something gets taken away doesn't mean that you're giving up on it. It just means that you're pivoting in a new direction. And I think that it's important that maybe the vehicle that you are traveling in right now to reach the audience that you need to is not the right vehicle. And so maybe you need to change things up. And what I mean by that is, you know, maybe you're an author trying to sell your books and you're doing them through webinars and that's not working. Well, maybe that webinar is not the vehicle, the transportation that you get to connect with your audience. You know, maybe speaking on Instagram isn't the right platform for your audience. And so maybe you need to go to Facebook or in person or local or whatever it is. It's getting the ideas and not letting the enemy come against you with the thoughts of, this isn't working. I must not be good enough. Therefore, I should be giving up. And I think that is one of the biggest lies is that when we hear a no, it equals rejection, which equals I should give up. In my fitness business, I work with a multi-level marketing company, and that comes with its own stigma. Stay with me, even if you heard that and you're like, ugh. It's okay. Not every person runs their business the same. So in that kind of environment, it is really easy for somebody to hear a no and automatically relate that to their worth. Like, I heard a no, I must have done something wrong. And then we take that as a rejection. We take it personal. We take it as though we're not supposed to be doing this because we heard a no. And so we can't run from the no's. We can't run from what people say or their opinions. Now, we can grow from opinions, especially trusted opinions, close people in our lives, but we can't let somebody else's opinion of us become our opinion. And so with all that being said, remember that maybe it's just the vehicle that is in transportation, or maybe it's the season of your life. Maybe the priorities in your life need to switch around, or maybe you're putting something above the priorities, which is making you feel really off, which is making your productivity at work seem less than. So in this season of my life, I noticed that when things aren't going the way I would like them per se, or I'm getting no's, or I'm getting rejections in a sense. Now, when I say rejections, I just want to say that I really spent time to reword what I meant when I got a no or comments about my work or that, you know, it wasn't for them. I wanted to make sure that I realized that when I received a no, it wasn't personal, like I had just said. When I was receiving no's from literary agents, and I wasn't taking them and internalizing them. So I would reword and rephrase how the enemy would come at me. No, your work's not good enough. No, it's just not the right time. And maybe they already have a book that is very similar to that. So they're not going to, you know, release two books that are the same. But I've been standing on very specific scriptures lately, and just things that will come to my mind, and quoting scripture over yourself is so powerful, which is why it's so important to be in the word. You know, Romans 8:25 talks about hope, and it talks about not the hope that you see. It's not about the hope that is right in front of you. It's not about hope and wishing. You know, we often, I don't know why we do this, but, you know, I hope this happens. Hope is not wishing. Hope is a confident expectation that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. It's a confident expectation in his promises. So when we hope, this is a serious thing. It shouldn't be taken lightly. It's something that we stand on. Psalm 27 is one that I had recently come across, and it talks about wait on the Lord. Be encouraged in your heart. Wait on the Lord. And this phrase keeps coming up throughout scripture, and I keep hearing it around me, whether it's a teaching, a podcast. And so in this season of waiting well, I have learned and really began to understand what it means to wait on the Lord, because when I wait on the Lord, I'm no longer striving for a result. I'm no longer making it about my works. I'm putting my trust in God because I know that he's going to provide the results that need to happen. And so I'm going to align myself. In Hebrews, it talks about faith and patience. And in the midst of faith and patience, there's time. I recently heard this, and I love it. From the amen to the there it is what? It's time. It's time. It's patience. And so that moment that you pray that prayer, and we say amen, to the moment that you get to go, look, there it is. There is the prayer that I prayed. It's coming to life right now. There is that gap in the middle where most of us sit a lot of the time in our life. It's that time. It's that waiting well. It's that nurturing of our heart with God's word. Another one in Psalm is, those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Another one in the Old Testament is that he blesses the work of my hand. He blesses the work of my hand. And that is something that I am also meditating on, is that no matter what I'm doing, is that the work that goes out, it's blessed. He blesses the work of my hands. And so if you feel this tug, or you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing or what direction I'm supposed to be going in, I think it's just to remember, let's check in for a moment. Because remember, we're not about giving up. We're just about pivoting. So that's all that you're doing. You're pivoting. You're not a failure. You are not a failure. If you take something off your plate, if you're not pursuing a million things right now, you are not a failure. You're pivoting according to what you need right now in the season and where God is calling you. So some things that you can check in with yourself is, does it feel like a burden? Meaning, do you just wrestle with showing up to do the work? Now, I don't want these to be confused with hard work, because behind the scenes, you know, you might hear this podcast right now, but behind the scenes, I re-recorded the intro like 6 times, and I've had to do the notes and take notes and research. And so there's a lot that goes behind the scenes of many things that we do day in and day out that nobody else sees. And so those things can sometimes, yes, they feel heavy and feel like a burden, but I want us to really distinguish the hard things, the not so good days, and the things that truly are a burden. And you find yourself striving to create, you find yourself striving to get results, and you feel out of alignment with your top priorities right now. So check in. Does this feel really burdensome? Do you feel like it's taking you further away from your priorities? Do you feel like it's calling and requiring so much of your time, and it just feels heavy to want to be motivated to do it? Because those things we should pay attention to. And sometimes we try to do things that we're not called to do. And I know that I've used this before as an example on one of the episodes and the lies here, but I'm going to share it again, is the one where I had a membership community, which I love doing the content for, but every month it just, It felt like a burden and I was striving to create results. Love the content, absolutely loved helping the women in the community, but it felt so, so heavy to me. And I went on for a year with that. I was, even though bringing in some money, I was losing money. And that was out of my own irresponsibility of taking control of things and honoring where I was and the season that I was in currently. And so I had to cancel the membership community, and it felt like a weight had lifted off my shoulders. It was good work, friends, but it wasn't the right vehicle for my audience and for me at the time. So, does it feel like a burden? Do you feel like you're striving day in and day out to create the results that you need? Does it feel out of alignment with your top priorities? Does it feel really heavy to carry? Maybe you can survey your audience. Maybe you can ask your people that are closest to you. Sometimes we need to change the vehicle in which we communicate our message, like I've been saying, and that's okay. And so we need to create the space between the emotion and our reality to evaluate, because we often tie our worth into our work. And I think that is really, really important, is that we often tie our worth into our work. So another question that you can ask yourself is, what fruit are my actions producing? And they could be producing money, but at the same time, are you losing money? You know, you might be making money, but how many hours are you working? So therefore, maybe you're not making as much as you think per hour. And so I think it's important to just, what fruit are my actions producing? When I get home from work, or whenever you're done working, or whatever season it is, maybe it's not even work, whatever it is, do I feel anxious? Do I feel glad? Do I feel happy? Do I feel joyful? Do I feel depressed? Do I feel overwhelmed? Because those emotions are going to carry over into every other area of your life. You can look at other areas of your life and see what fruit is being produced. And you can, like I said, ask those people around you and ask them to be honest with you, because that's the only way that we're going to grow. And I also want to encourage you that sometimes it's not about even pivoting. Sometimes it's about the thing in front of us, because that thing in front of us needs to be honored because it prepares us. I used to grumble all the time when I worked in retail. I was working so many hours, especially during school and in high school, and I would just complain all the time. And so I don't recommend you do that, because it is really hard for God to bless what you complain about. And so recently, going through a teaching with the leadership at my church, we're going through a Bible study, and the teacher talks about honoring what's in your hands so that you can be prepared for what's in your heart. You know, what's in your heart is that purpose. You feel like that calling, and you're like, I'm in this job right now and I don't want to be here. And you're trying to figure out the quickest way to escape, and you hate your boss, and you hate everything about it. And they're mean people, and the people you work with are mean. And so you're trying to you gossip and you talk about people, and, or maybe you don't. I'm just saying, hey, sometimes we get caught up in that race. And so we need to draw ourselves back and ask ourselves, how can I honor what's in my hand? And the teacher was talking about what's in your hand is what's in front of you right now. You know, your kids, your husband, the job that he has you in, the position that he has you in at the church, the ministry. I mean, whatever job or position or thing that you're pursuing, what is in your hands right now that you can honor, that you can thank him for, that you can show gratitude for? Because oftentimes what is in our hands prepares us for what's in our hearts. Even if you're like, I don't know how these two are going to connect. When I worked in retail management, it was fun because I look back and now I see, okay, there's a lot of structure there. a lot of hard work that it showed me going from working it full time in retail to working for myself. It's when you work for yourself, you still got to show up every single, well, not every single day, but you still have to show up like a job. You got to put in your hours. And although there's more flexibility in scheduling and making your own things and all the fun things that, you know, we like to hear about on social media, there's still the hard things of showing up even when you don't feel like it, even when you're not feeling good, even what's going on in your life. And so the moments in when I worked in retail management and I worked at Joann Fabrics, and I loved it. It brought out so many of my creative side, but it taught me so many things. And my manager was tough. She was tough on me, but it was challenging for me. And I can see how much of that, of the structure and the doing planograms and, you know, creating certain things and helping customers be creative, how that is now still a part of me as a business owner working from home. You know, even though it's been, goodness, probably 7-8 years since I've been working from home, I can still walk into a Joann Fabrics and just still feel the moments that I work there. It had the biggest impact on my life, and I worked there for 8 years. It was my only full-time job besides a couple of in-and-out jobs that I worked during the summer. Sometimes I was working 3 jobs at once to make an income and to provide for myself. But the whole point of this is, what's in your hands? Because what's in your hands right now is going to prepare you for what's in your heart. But might I suggest that you not grumble your way through the things in your hands to get to the thing in your heart? You can't bypass God. You can't jump ahead of him. You need to walk with him as he equips you for the next stage and the next stage of your life. And so even though you might be hearing no's right now and you might feel rejected and you're like, I just feel like that and I need to give up. That's a lie. It's not the truth. You don't have to give up because you hear no's. Maybe you're called to pivot, but maybe you're called to stop grumbling with what's in your hands so that you can be prepared for what's in your heart. And that perspective from the teacher just, it made me repent, first of all, of even the things I will still grumble about my day in and day out sometimes, like, I have to do this when I really just want to do that. It happens. But we get to repent, to think new thoughts, and to create a new story around it. So with all of that being said, he's waiting to see what you do with your hands, to see how faithful you are with what's in front of you. Wait on the Lord. Those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. He blesses the works of your hand. Hope is that confident expectation. Ask yourself, am I striving to create results? Am I depending on myself to make money? Because as soon as you make it about yourself making money, you miss the kingdom. We miss the kingdom. Does it feel burdensome? Is it taking you away from your priorities? And then you can ask close, trusted friends, ask your audience, ask your current clients. Be willing to get feedback. But most importantly, stand on the truth and find those scriptures that bring you back to the truth. When you hear silence, can you hear silence? When there is no response to the work that you're doing. You know, I know I'm not a mom, but I hear a lot of moms like, you know, nobody sees the day in and day out of you being a mom and all the hard things that you do. But he does. And how beautiful is that? That when you're alone in your office and you feel like nobody sees you and everybody hates you at work or your boss is just miserable or whatever, he still sees you. And we often allow how others respond to us determine how we respond to others. And he calls us to a higher standard. He calls us to be the ones to forgive and to repent and to love our neighbors and to not, you know, overcome evil by doing more evil, but we overcome evil by doing good. And there are so many of these standards, and they all start from the heart posture. And so the truth is today is that a no does not equal rejection. Your worth is not in your works. And a rejection does not mean that you get to give up at all. And so, you know, people, I was telling people, you know, if I didn't hear back from somebody or a literary agent, this was not going to determine whether I stopped writing. And that's just an example. I'm not going to stop writing because somebody didn't see it at that moment or it wasn't the right time. I'm going to continue to show up, but maybe in a different vehicle. And I want to give yourself, I want you to have permission today to do the same, to maybe change the vehicle of where you're going, to honor what's in your hands so that you can prepare for what's in your heart, to not let a no equal your identity and a rejection to take it personal, but to allow space between your emotion and the reality of what's really going on. Friends, you're doing good work. You are doing good work. Don't let a no be the reason that you give up, because that's not what he's calling you to do. We don't get to give up. We're not giver-uppers, okay? We're just pivoters. We're just pivoters. And we are his children. Thanks for listening to this episode of the What's the Truth podcast. I'm so glad that you're here, but I don't want to miss you being here. So make sure you subscribe to the What's the Truth podcast, and I'd love to hear what truth that you're standing on today by leaving a review. Until next time, come hang out with me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle, where we can connect and continue to support and encourage each other on this journey to uncovering the lies that we believe to be true about our lives.